Entrance to Worship and the Study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, Is Your Bible Lost or Found? And I want to ask, how much has the entertainment industry, social media, and even our electronic devices, how much have they pushed you away from reading the Bible? How far down the list of daily to-dos does reading the Bible rank? Is it even in your daily schedule?
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, last week we took a look, if you remember, at Christian in the Age of the Internet and social media and how it can take up 9 hours a day for a lot of U.S. teens, and adults are not too far behind that, and how God told us in Ephesians 5, you're to make the most of the time because the days are evil. And so today I'd like to look with you at the Word of God, and is the Bible lost or found in your life? And especially at an Old Testament story that the Holy Spirit gives us, concerning the Word of God, the lost book of the law, which is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and 2 Kings chapter 22. Now, let me ask you a question. What would it be like in your life if you did not have the Word of God? If you didn't have the Bible to walk with and read each day, to study and to understand God's Word? What would it be like to lose the Bible? Do you love the Word? Are you growing in it and using it each day more and more at your home with delight in it? Or have you sort of grown a little cool with it? Is it lost and forgotten? Well, let's take a look at an Old Testament story together today about a place where they lost the book of the law. We're going to look at that in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Now, as we get into this, let's just look at the context for a second. Israel and Judah, the two kingdoms, had many kings. Most of them were bad kings. Most were evil. The kings of Israel, pretty much the northern kingdom, pretty much all bad. Pretty much. They did evil, the people did evil, and the kings of Judah, the southern kingdom, had a lot of bad kings, and the people did badly, but also a few good kings. And today we're going to get one of the best, one of the most righteous. His name is Josiah. And he came to reign when he was a very young man. Let's take a look at Josiah and read about him here. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. I'm opening up here. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. 8 years. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father. He didn't turn aside to the right or to the left. Sounds like a great guy, right? And he was one of the most righteous of all. But we learn something amazing that happened when he was 18 years old. Let's read about that, verse 8. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, when he'd purged the land and the house, in other words, he'd gotten rid of the idols and false gods and stuff like that, and devoted himself to the Lord only, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord as God. What's the house of the Lord? The temple, right? It was in disrepair. It was falling apart because of the previous evil kings didn't really care about it. So they went in to do that. Then came Hilkiah, the high priest, and delivered the money that had been brought into the house of God. They delivered it to the workmen who had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And the workmen who were working in the house of the Lord gave it for repairing and restoring the house. So this is great. He's building up the temple. He's getting it all in shape again. And things are going according to his order and plan. But then we read, while they were bringing out the money, verse 14, that had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah, the priest, found the book of the law of the Lord given through Moses. And then Hilkiah said to Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Shaphan brought the book to the king and further reported to the king all that was committed to your servants, they're doing. They've emptied out the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen. Then Shaphan the secretary told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. So what do you think about this story? We pick up here that they found a book. What book is this? The book of the law of the Lord given through Moses. It had been lost. We read, when the king heard the words of the law, he rent his clothes, and the king commanded Hilkiah, Shaphan, and others, go inquire for me and for those who are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that's poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. You see the importance of the word book there? This is an old scroll. The record, this is the scriptures. And what had happened to it? They had lost it in a back storeroom of the temple, forgotten until Hilkiah the priest recovered it. So what's the Holy Spirit teaching to us today about the book, first of all? The Bible, the Word of God. It is the most important thing God has given to his people. His word, written word. Because we can read there, remember what Jesus said about this when he was contesting against Satan in the wilderness? He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What's Jesus say about this book? John chapter 10, he says, scripture cannot be broken. In Luke chapter 16, he says, it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void. Did our Lord Jesus Christ believe in this book? It's by this book that man shall live, not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Psalm 33, for by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. And Jesus said in John 8, our gospel today, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Wow. This book is the word of life to us because it points us to Jesus, who is the Savior, that we might lay hold of him. And how important it is for us to keep this book before us. For even God says in this book, in Deuteronomy chapter 12, he says, be careful to heed all the words which I command you, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. For there was also a curse in the book of the law of Moses. There was a blessing and a curse. The curse, if they would turn aside from it, cast the book behind them, forget it, not take heed to it, then the wrath of the Lord would come upon them. That's why when King Josiah heard the words of the book, what did he do? He rent his clothes. He repented. And he says, go quickly, you know, inquire of me for the Lord of those who are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that's been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that's poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the words of all that is written in this book. So what's the Holy Spirit teaching us here about this book? How important is it? In the age of the internet, where you can be entertained out the wazoo, night and day, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, movies, TV, entertainment. Is this the first or the last, the beginning or the end for you? Number one or number two, three, four, or 10 on your list? This is to be number one, says the Lord. So the second thing the Holy Spirit teaches us here in this is that how quickly people turn aside from the book. Amen? It's so easy to forget it, to get it pushed aside, for it to find no place in a person's heart, to push that book aside and for it to be lost in a forgotten back storage room of the temple of our house. we read here that God was so serious about this. Of course, he still is and always will be. Deuteronomy 17, he gave orders concerning this book. Early on, he said, "And when a king sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law from that which is in charge of the Levitical priests. And it shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and statutes, doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the right hand or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel." So what did God want the king to do? Take the book and do what? What do we read? Write it out, right? Write himself a copy and keep it with him and read it and all the days of his life. And that's important for us too. To put it always first in our, and is it first in your life? Is it number one? Or have other things started to push that aside and take the place of number one? Putting that before you each day. They're to write a copy of themselves, a copy of it for themselves. So we too can lose this book. How has our culture lost this book, American society? Well, in public schools, for example, you could look at the Bible set in June 17th, 1963, Abington versus Shemp. What happened there? They decided to get rid of this book, to cast it out of the schools. You know, this book has been in our school system in America ever since the colonial days and all the way through the founding of our founding fathers, all the way to 1963, but then it was ruled unconstitutional. And so our founding fathers had no problem with the Bible in schools or prayer or the Ten Commandments, etc. But in 1963, we figured we knew better than the founding fathers about the Constitution. Who wrote the Constitution? We know better about the Constitution than they know. Interesting concept. "We don't want it anymore," said our culture. What'd they do? They lost the book, right? Isn't this happening? They cast it. In fact, if you go to a school today, they've relegated it, like in the old days, to a back janitor's closet storage room. And in fact, even if they found one there, what'd they do? They would get rid of it even there. They don't want it there. What happens when you lose the book? Well, according to a USA Today article from September 1985, said the biggest problem at schools before 1963 was what? Talking, chewing gum, making noise, getting out of turn in line, wearing improper clothing, and not putting paper in the wastebasket. Since 1963, rape, robbery, assault, burglary, murder, suicide, vandalism, extortion, drugs and alcohol abuse, gang warfare, teen pregnancies, the killing of innocent lives and abortions, venereal diseases, bombings, not to mention school shootings. Things that 50 years ago our forefathers in this country would never have dreamed possible are taking place in our culture. Why? Because cast the book behind them. As Jesus said in John chapter 8, he says, "Now you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you." Guess what? If the word has a place in you, it pours forth light, life, living, joy, truth, everything good of God in your life, if you hold it fast by faith. But if not, it's ruin and destruction. And so we see in our culture. Do you know we even see that in churches? Well, can a church lose the book? Well, think about our story there from 2 Chronicles 34. What happened? The church, God's people, lost the book. They put it in a back storage room of the temple. They lost the book of the law of Moses. And so to today. I read this Pulpit Helps 1987 survey of 7,441 Protestant ministers, pastors, and they were surveyed. How many pastors do you think believed in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day? Which is, guess what? The heart of the gospel. Amen? How can you be a pastor? Why on earth would you ever want to be a pastor if you didn't believe that? That is the heart of Christianity, Christ's resurrection. But according to this, 51% Methodist, 35% Presbyterian pastors, 30% Episcopalians and 33% American Baptists did not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day. Something had crept into the church over the years called historical criticism, which treats miracles as folderol, just myth. And so why on earth would you be a pastor if you didn't believe this? And why did they not believe this? Well, according to the same survey, do you believe the word of God, the Bible, is without error? Well, 87% Methodists said no, and 82% Presbyterian, 95% Episcopalian, 67% American Baptist. Now, there's all different types of denominations, different types of Presbyterians. I'm just saying this is the survey. They didn't believe that the word of God is without error. And so what does this mean? They lost the book. Even though they have the Bible in their church, they don't believe it in certain places. Now, many, many churches love the word and hold it fast. Some don't. If you don't, you lose the book. And what happens when you lose the book? All hell breaks loose, if you will. If you have the book, it's God pouring his life and light into us if we believe it and keep it. And maybe we should write ourselves a book, the law, writing down the scriptures, that is, and memorizing them. For the Bible says, God says in Malachi 2, for the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You've caused many to stumble by your instruction. You've corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. That was the Old Testament days. Same things happening in our days, right? The whole history of the church and mankind is lost and found. In the days of the apostles, they found the book. They believed it. In the days and the centuries after, they lost the book. They didn't believe it. In the days of Martin Luther, he rediscovered the gospel in the scriptures. They found the book. In the days after that, historical criticism, the age of reason. We don't believe the Bible. They lost the book. And then we believe the book and lose the book. And you can lose the book as a church, and you can have the book lost and found throughout history. Let us find the book and keep it, that it not be lost. How about with us personally? You can lose it in culture, like we talked about. You can lose it in the church. How about ourselves? Can you lose the book personally? Yeah, well, guess what? We're living in an age, like I said last week, where we are so consumed, and it's so easy, myself included, to fall into internet types of, or movies or TV, entertainment. You can lose the book. It can be thrust aside where there's really no place left in your day's time to be in the Word. But guess what? No one's ever gotten into heaven by entertainment. Right? You don't get into heaven by being entertained. You get into heaven by the Word of God. Jesus says, you know, he who keeps my Word will never see death. The best thing we can do in our lives as Christians is, you know, you have your entertainment, but put it way back at the end of the caboose, at the train, at the front of your life, the Word of God, in memorization and diving into it, in swimming the depths of the scriptures, learning it. There's nothing better in the world than the Word. You can, I found this thing on eBay some time ago, 1880s Family Bible. You can buy it right now, practically new, never before used. What's wrong with his picture? That is a terrible picture of a Bible. One that's not used. That was a lost book. There's a kid once, I heard the story. He looked at the center table of their house. They had a Bible there. He says, Mom, is this God's book? She said, well, yes, of course it is, dear. He says, well, we should send it back to God because we don't use it here. If you do that, you lose the book, even if it's in your house. If it's not in your heart and before your eyes and putting into your ears and into your children and into your memorization, if you don't use it, you lose it. Let me say it again. If you don't use it, you lose it. Anytime we're not using the book, we're losing the book. But when you're using it, you're finding it and being found by it, by God, that is, through the scriptures. Let me show you a picture visually here of my grandmom's Bible. I love this. You know why? Look at this thing. Grandmom Kittrell out there in good old Kansas. Look at her book. It's falling to pieces. This is the kind of Bible I want all of us to have, and myself included. Little notes in it, highlights, stars, asterisks, underlines. It is a sword that shows days many on the field of battle brandished, dings and hits and in the field of battle, used, taken from its sheath. May our Bibles be falling apart, like this one. A falling apart Bible is a found book. One that's brand new, like new, never before used, that is, as pretty as it is, lost. And they had a lost book of the law in the Old Testament. May ours be found. So when you get to Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, videos, internet, it's entertainment, okay, but put it at the end of the line and the caboose, not at the head of your train. Put the Bible. Let us do that. And we all, and myself included, need reminding in this. And when you have lost the word but find it, what should be your response? Or when you find out that you've lost it, if you feel like you've not been in it today. Well, let's look at Josiah. What did he do? It says there, when the king heard the words of the law, he rent his clothes. He's like, oh my goodness, did you hear what is written in here? And what's coming upon us? We've not kept the words of this book. Go quickly and inquire of Huldah the prophetess and see what the Lord will say about this. For great is the wrath of the Lord that's coming upon us. So they quickly went to Huldah the prophetess, and she says this. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, that's the king, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon its inhabitants, and all the curses that are written in the book which we read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods, that they may provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be poured out on this place and will not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, regarding the words which you've heard, because your heart was penitent and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his word against this place and its inhabitants, and you've humbled yourself before me and have rent your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. And your eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place and its inhabitants. And they brought back word to the king. So what's the Holy Spirit teaching you right now through that passage about when you maybe have lost the book in your life, but you repent? What does he do? He's quick to show mercy, instantly to forgive you, to bless you, to restore you to health and goodness in life, and then to bring you to your end in peace. And not have the evil fall upon you. So even if the world casts this book behind their back, if churches have cast this book behind their back, or if you've cast this book, whenever a man turns to the Lord, God is quick to forgive, to restore, and to set up and bless once again with his wonderful word. So what does God want to bless you with his word right now? This book, he says, will set you free. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Do you want to be free today? There's a lot of bondages, a lot of types. The world is full of lies. The devil is a master cheater, seducer, but this book will set you free if it's in our life and we hold it fast. It'll also give you the justice of God, teaching you to be mindful not to take sin lightly. For Jesus says, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. John the Baptist says, flee from the wrath to come. Paul says, no human being will be justified in God's sight by works of the law. Right? And so the world right now is treating sin very, very, very lightly. Correct? This book teaches us and reminds us never to do so. That's good. Because after giving us the justice, then he gives us the salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Thus says the Lord. And that word is a word, friends, I need to hear every day, and all the words like it. Mercy, grace, salvation, peace. This book will give it to you. You're not going to get into heaven by entertainment. The world thinks maybe it will, but it won't. No one's ever gotten there by that, but by the word of God. Whoever keeps my word, Jesus says, he will never see death. For he died for us and rose again that we might believe in him. And the Bible is not something we worship, okay? The unfolding of thy words gives light, but this is not what we worship. The book, its purpose is to point you to a person, Jesus Christ, who loves you and gives you eternal life in his name through faith in his name. So that's why we go to the book, a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ by faith for salvation. So let's dust it off, take it out of that back storage room of the temple of our house, that leather-bound scroll, say, I found the book, put it before our eyes, dive into it, swim it, memorize it, put it before your eyes and before that of your family, because in it we find the Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Is Your Bible Lost or Found? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier, and if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages or leave a comment on this one, please visit our website at Christ Lutheran Church, CapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.
Sees what I was meant to be, more than just a beauty.